is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Simon Constable. He is reporting for Barron's and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications from Edinburgh, Scotland. He is in Europe, however, and that is the profound fact now for the story of energy. Energy in Europe, energy in North America, energy worldwide. We begin with climate. Well, in this case, weather. This is Bloomberg reporting within these hours. Short-term power prices surged in Europe, hitting the second highest level on record in Germany, as Arctic air moved in, bringing snow and sub-zero temperatures across the central west region. Day-ahead power prices jumped in Germany, France, and Netherlands, with temperatures falling as low as minus 6 degrees Celsius, that's 21 degrees Fahrenheit, in eastern France, according to state forecaster Meteo France. Snow is expected in the south and northeast of Germany, according to German meteorology. Simon, you are not protected from this, though you have a tropical climate on one side of Scotland. Northern Europe is at winter time. The natural gas price has been high for several weeks, so before we turn to gasoline prices in North America, what is the present understanding of natural gas in Scotland? Are the shortages going to get worse? Are the prices going up? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. Well, as ever in a free market, there won't be shortages if the prices are allowed to rise. That will mean some people won't be able to afford the natural gas, and some people will, but there will be enough supplied. The problem is that it is now $31 per million British thermal units. That's a million cubic feet. That's a lot of money. And comparing that with the U.S., where it's about it's a little less than $5 for the same amount of natural gas, you get an idea of how expensive it is here, and that's part of what is raising prices for electricity and other power in Europe. When it gets cold, people know the demand's going to be high, so the prices go up, and that's what's happening now, and it's going to continue happening through this winter. It will be an interesting time to receive these bills through the mail or through the email that say astronomical amounts of money. Some people aren't going to be able to afford it. It's going to be rather a sad time. However, there will be no actual shortage.
Not yet. Let us presume that all goes well in Ukraine these next weeks, Simon. So we turn to, and I imagine myself sitting in northern Germany questioning whether I can turn the heat up while it's snowing outside. That's a legitimate question. Germany's now forming a new government, and the decision was made in the previous government to do away with nuclear-powered electricity generation, to borrow from France if they can, to do away with coal-fired electricity generation, and also the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, not yet completed or cleared by regulators. A lot of questions will come up for the new German government, but we need to go to the U.S. government because you have an article in Barron's which is helpful to understand where we are in terms of the Biden administration policy going forward. The release of 50 million gallons of gasoline from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. These are the salt caverns of Texas and Louisiana. Right now, what do the traders, the equity analysts, make of this release? Will it relieve the price of gasoline that, as I sit here, is going up outside my window?
Well, it's going to stay high. That's important. The release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has traditionally been used in times of crisis when there's been, say, a refinery or a port knocked out by a hurricane or something like that. This case, it isn't. It's just that it happens to be high. That's about 2.5 days worth of supply has been released. This is not going to have a very profound long-term effect on the price of gasoline, precisely because it will have almost negligible effect on the price of oil longer term. That's the bad news on that. And the news just gets worse after that. So in the column I wrote For Barron's, there are three big reasons why we're going to have prices remain elevated. One is that we're going to see oil demand globally return to exceed pre-COVID levels next year. But at the same time, OPEC, which is the organization of oil exporting countries, they are not going to increase their supplies to the world as much as is necessary. So we're going to have a deficit of oil, what's needed versus what's being produced. And that's going to continue through next year. So that's not good. Then you've got another thing, which is that we've got the Biden administration, which is probably the first administration that is somewhat actively hostile to the fossil fuel industry. And that's led companies not to want to drill or not able to drill in the U.S. to provide a supply response. So again, the supply response would take the price down. It's not going to happen because of that. And then there's a third reason. Investors have moaned at big oil for years and years and years about overexpanding. They don't want big oil companies to overexpand just for the sake of expanding. And they're saying, no, don't drill new holes. Just send us the money in better dividends. And that's going to, of course, restrict supply. So you've got these three big things and it's a big problem. The only saving grace here is if we have a lockdown, because of a COVID surge again. We've seen Austria do that. Austria is a tiny economy. If other economies follow suit, that may be something that happens. But if we have a lockdown in a big way, I think gasoline prices are going to be the last thing on people's list to worry about.
Let me go to the first reason for the gas prices not moderating. And the initial response was the price of oil went up in America. What the heck? You know, that's logic for you. West Texas crude right now, it's $78.50. Brent crude that you pay in Europe at $82. No moderation from the prices of these last days. So there will be no immediate relief in driving season, which is dated in the U.S. between Thanksgiving and the New Year. This is when people are moving around. The presumption is that the vaccines have secured us to visit our loved ones and to travel at Christmas time. OPEC, the OPEC producers, Simon, been called upon by the Biden administration and other voices to open the pumps. Have they? What is the opinion of the portfolio managers? Does that answer? And how is OPEC responding to the criticism?
OPEC's basically not responded in concrete terms. They are going to up their production quotas by a few hundred thousand barrels each month over the next few months, but that really isn't going to keep pace with the increase in demand. And there's the problem, is that unless they start producing a surplus of oil in the world, the price will not go down. The deficits of oil demand versus oil supply are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger over the next year as the world economy rebounds. It doesn't matter what Joe Biden says. I don't think OPEC's really going to listen unless the world goes to war for some reason, and it's not looking like it's going to do that before Christmas.
About investing in exploration and production, the Biden administration is recommending, or the market is recommending, more attention to the stockholders than to R&D or expansion right now. But we have always seen in the past, Simon, when the prices go up, big oil or big energy responds by finding more. That's where we got fracking from.
That is indeed where we got fracking from. And we have for a very long time in America had a very pro fossil fuel industry. It was basically no different under Bill Clinton, as it was under George W. Bush, as it was under President Obama. There is a need for for drilling, and that meant the supply response could happen. But immediately under the Biden administration, there's been a clampdown on what can and cannot be done in terms of drilling, where it can be done and where it cannot be done. And so that hasn't really happened yet. You don't get the supply response when the government isn't exactly friendly to your entire industry.
But the projections are that we are coming out of the pandemic and that demand will be higher than ever in 22. Do I read that correctly? 22, 23. As the
Absolutely.
Okay, we're laying the logic out here. There's going to be more demand, and there's a disincentive to explore, that is, bring more online. Doesn't that lead to higher prices, which is the opposite of what the release of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve wants to achieve?
Absolutely, it's the opposite. It's almost like the government is at war with itself, or the administration, I should say, is at war with itself. On the one hand, they don't like fossil fuels, and so they've got all those things that will not allow a supply response. And on the other hand, they're making a token gesture, which is really a negligible gesture, 2.5 days of consumption released from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and it's not going to do anything.
Right.
So, yes, very odd.
Right.
Very odd indeed.
And enough analyst talk. Let's come down to it. The price of gasoline right now, I had a photograph sent to me from some of my two of my informants whom I trust in California. One in the San Joaquin Valley at $5 plus a gallon for regular. Another at from northern Los Angeles at $5 plus, $5.5 to $6 per gallon. Another picture from the northern California at $6 per gallon. What you're saying is that that is very likely to be the new normal going forward. Is that fair?
That is likely to be the new normal or worse. So yesterday, when I looked this up on AAA, the average price of gas, regular gas, was $3.40 a gallon, right? That's just regular gas across the U.S. That could easily go as high as $3.70, one analyst said to me. So that's quite a jump. And that would mean proportionately you would see the California gas go up even more, and all those other nasty prices that you mentioned that are going to leave people, you know, with eye-watering bills at the pump.
Simon has also guidance about how to invest in a market that is contradictory. Why ConocoPhillips? Why Occidental Petroleum? What is attractive about those given the uncertainty of oil stocks?
Oh, well, the good news is that these two companies, among a few others as well, they were mentioned by CFRA, which is a research company. They are unhedged. That means that if the price of oil goes up, they will realize bigger revenue than they had previously. And that will mean that the stockholders will profit. And it looks like oil prices are going to remain elevated throughout next year, and that will be very good for these companies. So you can sort of offset things if you buy some oil stocks, or certainly selected oil stocks, and sort of wait that out. I mean, of course, it could go all wrong, like I mentioned. If we have another lockdown, then all this is off the table, but that could really work quite well for people.
Simon, thinking of lockdowns, when we come back, life in Scotland with the news from the European continent not positive about the virus at Christmas. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.